Robert Redford would be a narc.
He would. He would be like, Robert Redford, when he was a teenager, would run upstairs and be like, hey, they're smoking weed outside.
Hey, we're smoking weed.
Don't shift your weight. Don't stare. And for God's sake, whatever you do.
Hello and welcome to March Bradness. I'm Sarah.
I'm Hannah, and this is the world's only March Madness-style Brad Pitt-themed podcast, where we pit every single one of Brad Pitt's movies against one another in a quest to find the ultimate Brad. This is not a spoiler-free podcast. If you care about spoilers, turn back now. Go watch these movies. Come back. Listen. If you don't care about spoilers, which you shouldn't, because it's the year of Our Lord 2017... forge on ahead.
Today, we are talking about Spy Game.
And Happy Feet 2.
Woo!
Oh, I'm so excited, guys.
It's been a long time coming. This is, I want you to know we did this on purpose. This is the prequel to the season finale.
Yeah, we got to rope you guys back in.
Yeah, so this is like, you know how things get real intense right before the last episode?
Yeah.
That's this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I hope you're excited. There's a lot to talk about today.
There's so much.
A lot of good stuff happening. There's some new Brads to be uncovered.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. It's good. Both of these movies are very complex for very, very, very different reasons.
Extremely different.
I think we should talk about Spy Game first.
Yeah, let's start with Spy Game.
Yeah, let's... Oh!
Justin has a lot to say about Spy Game.
So Spy Game 2001 is a action espionage thriller. So 2001, Brad Pitt is a CIA operative who was recruited right after Vietnam by Robert Redford, who we all know as the director of A River Runs Through It, the most boring movie of all time.
Which, like, I feel like really encapsulates this man. This guy, Robert Redford, looks like he's never moisturized a day in his life.
Robert, what's
up? He has the most, like, dry, crevicey-looking skin, and he looks like a man who would direct a movie about fly fishing.
Yeah.
He just looks it.
He just looks like he's, like, not fun to talk to.
No.
And, like...
I feel like he has the only jokes he's ever told come from a joke book.
Oh, man. So that's Brad's co-star. So Brad Pitt plays a CIA operative who was recruited right out of Vietnam. He's a spy in the titular Spy Game. And in the start of the movie, he gets captured when he is in a Chinese prison. Why is he in a Chinese prison? I don't really know.
Just for fun?
Just for shits and gigs.
Vacation?
for a fun, sexy time, visit a 90s Chinese prison. And Robert Redford gets called into a meeting. It's his last day on the job. He's about to retire from the CIA. And they're like, yo, tell us about this Tom Bishop kid. Like, what's going on? Because the CIA is like, he got captured and he has 24 hours. No, not even. It's like 12 hours.
Yeah,
it's something crazy.
I think it's 24, but they keep doing this thing where they'll freeze frame and then they'll do black and white and then they'll do a timestamp over it.
Yeah.
8 hours till execution.
Yeah. And I'm like, why is he being executed?
We don't know and we don't give a shit because... Yeah. This movie is not well done.
It's so boring.
I would say this is the worst movie I've ever seen, except for we had to watch the other ones. The ones, the two, the really bad pitting where we had the two where he was...
Oh, yeah.
Killing
the counselor.
Software. The counselor. There you go.
And, like, Babel was bad.
Yeah,
Babel was bad.
But this movie, like, it took two tries because I fell all the way asleep.
Even when Brad Pitt was throwing a chair.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about. I guess we should finish the plot.
Yeah, sorry.
So, Brad Pitt... is going to be executed. Robert Redford's like, ah, hell no, that's kind of like my son, I guess. And then he's pulled into the CIA meeting room where they're like, tell us everything you know. And he's like, well, this is the story of how...
This movie is just one long meeting. This movie is like actually physically sitting at a meeting with the same effect where your eyes are closing
like,
and you're
kind of
like falling asleep and you're like, shit, I got to pay attention.
And it's a spy movie.
Yeah.
It's the least sexy spy movie I've ever seen.
He's just, like, doing paperwork and making phone calls, and then every now and then it's, like, dramatic zoom in on a typewriter, and then it's, like, all the important words are bolded and highlighted, so you don't miss it, even though, like, you still can't understand what's going on.
Yeah, This was another one of those movies where I had to read the Wikipedia article afterwards just so I, like, knew.
And it sounded interesting from Wikipedia.
Yeah, it was another one. Wikipedia sometimes makes these movies seem way more interesting than they actually are.
Do not be fooled. Spy Game fucking sucks.
So Robert Redford finds out that Brad's in this Chinese prison, and he leaks the story to the news because since America is in the middle of important trade negotiations with China, America doesn't want to save Brad Pitt or people to know that there was a spy because they're like, what's going on? And Brad Pitt wasn't even working with the permission of the CIA because he's a wild card.
He was doing it for love.
He was doing it for love. And then Robert Redford frees him, basically, by,
with his,
like,
retirement account.
Yeah, with all his life savings, all $283,000. Which to me sounds like a lot, but then Sarah said, in this economy, you need $1 million to retire.
You need a cool million to retire.
And I'm like, it's the guess dividend. I'm going to work till I die.
No, if you save $5,000 a year, then it adds up, just like Fry in Futurama.
Well, I'll let you know when I have $5,000 a year to save.
Okay.
Please sponsor this podcast so I can retire. Please. Brad Pitt is free, and he flies away into the sunset with his bloody, pulpy mess of a face and his beautiful English girlfriend.
And they smile.
And they smile at each other. Like,
and they laugh, and they laugh.
And they're like, wow, what a hilarious time in this Chinese death prison. This movie also takes place, like, a large portion of it takes place in, like, the 70s and early 80s.
Everybody has pagers.
Everyone has pagers. But no one looks like it's the 70s or early 80s. It just looks like it's, like, a 90s movie.
They do have a mirror on a desk in their business room just hanging out.
Yeah,
for Coca-Cola.
You pour a little thin line of Coca-Cola.
And then you snort it so that you get the bubbles in your nose.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, God, it burns.
Wow, that's a funny feeling.
Hey, kids. March Madness does not condone drug use.
No.
There's, like, not a lot to say about this Brad. He's cute. He looks really good. He's, like, 38, I said, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, like, I know we've talked about this before, but Brad Pitt does not age.
No.
He is the youngest-looking man on the planet.
No.
He looks like a little kid. Yeah. He doesn't look like a little kid, but he looks, like, across the tracks.
Yeah.
You know?
He looks young.
He's super young. Unlike Robert Redford, he moisturizes diligently.
His little cheek scar on his little cheekbone.
Yeah, we see the smallpox scar. No, it's like, it was a fine Brad. I thought that he was, like, charming. I don't know. The problem with this movie was Robert Redford just totally hogged the camera.
And he was like, this is the sound Robert Redford made. This is the sound in my brain. But, like, for 2.5 hours.
Like, his voice? Like,
yeah, just like
talks?
That. I don't know. Just, like, it just was like a
And then Brad's, like, 2 feet in the background. And he's like, hey, hi.
Hey, hi.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Hi. No, sir.
I think we saw the most of him when he was freaking out. Like, he had a freak out because Robert Redford made him, I don't know.
Kill a man,
kind of? Kind of. He was, like, associated with a man getting killed. And Robert Redford was explaining it to Brad, and Brad was like, you used me. I didn't know that was going to happen. And
fun fact, that scene isn't mentioned in the Wikipedia article because it's not important.
Are you kidding me?
Brad Pitt threw a chair off a balcony. He's freaking out. So he's in, like, this long leather duster. It's like 1977 or something. 1975? I don't know.
Whenever
shortly
people
after
are
Vietnam.
Wearing leather dusters.
Long leather dusters. And it didn't look Columbine. He's the only person in the world who could pull it off. And it was really only with his, like, weird 70s-ish mod Berlin haircut. And Robert Redford is like, it had to happen. And Brad Pitt's like, that man died.
Okay, then you gotta help me understand this one. Nathan, what are we doing here? And don't give me some bullshit about the greater good.
That's exactly what it's about.
And he threw a chair off of the Fujifilm balcony.
All the way. Like, he picked it up and he hurled it, and it fell probably 90 stories. Then the chair reappears and Brad Pitt leans on it, kind of a...
Yeah, he, like, pulls a chair over.
Yeah.
And then it zooms out. There's, like, a shot, reverse shot, and then it zooms out, and Brad pulls the chair over again.
Maybe he's just that good of a spy.
If you were that good of a spy, then why did he go to prison?
For love.
Love is a prison.
Love is a battlefield. It's established that Brad is a good spy in this. Like, yeah. He came from nothing, and Robert Redford was like, I want you to be my protege. And he was like, had him do a series of tests, and he's like, see that balcony up there? I want you to be on that balcony in 5 minutes. And then Brad charmed the old couple that was living there and was like, going
up there. In 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes, he did it.
But I can't even order a sandwich in 5 minutes. I'm too scared of people.
This is another, like, frustrating instance of a movie that is not really giving Brad anything. Like, okay, you know how in The Mexican we were complaining because we got to see, I can't remember his name, the meaty thighs of someone?
And,
and Brad Pitt was wearing two shirts the whole time.
Two shirts and baggy cargo
pants. That's what I felt like. You have Brad Pitt as the star.
Yeah, you have the Brad co-star. Pitt. And you focus all of your time and narrative energy on Robert Redford.
Yeah, and like, what did they give Brad? Like, what was his personality in this film?
His personality was,
yes, sir, And then, you know, he dated the lady or whatever.
Yeah, and like, she was like super interesting.
Yeah, she had a backstory.
Remember in the OC season 2 when Sandy Cohen meets up with his ex-girlfriend from before he married Kirsten? And he was like, where have you gone? And she was like, we bombed a building, but there was a janitor inside. Now I'm on the run from the law. The exact same thing happens in this movie. That's straight up from Spy Game. It's still boring. If I were to remake Spy Game in the year of our Lord 2014 with Brad Pitt in the same age that he was, because he was real cute. Yeah. He was cute. Brad's cute.
He is so cute.
Just, I want to pinch those cheeks.
Give him a little. Right on the tip of his nose.
Yeah.
Like what you do with a cat.
Yeah. Brad's sitting on the table. You're like, Brad, can I have a kiss?
And Brad turns his head.
And you're like, all right, someone's cranky today. I would 100% focus on the relationship between Brad Pitt and the lady.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because that's like, if that's the crux of the conflict, that Brad Pitt was sneaking into this prison to save this woman he loves, and he's not even supposed to love anyone because he's a spy, and it puts people in danger, why are you not making that the main point of your thing? You know, you could take all of Robert Redford's shitty, he's a good spy exposition and chunk it into like maybe 25 minutes of like, I met this kid in Vietnam and here's like this cool training montage of him being a spy and here's him throwing a thing off the ledge so that we know he's kind of a loose cannon. And then he falls in love. And then we get to focus on Brad Pitt having a fun, sexy time.
That's the perfect role for Brad. Brad does great at that. But we were never allowed to see him falling in love, like, all the way. I mean, it was established, but I felt like he was never allowed to develop his character. Or, like, he straight up wasn't given the time.
Yeah.
He didn't have the screen time.
Yeah. It just, like, he was, like, for the person who's sort of, like, in charge of and driving the action, like, for the character that's the reason why all of this stuff is happening, you sure don't get any of it. And not even in, like, a Saving Private Ryan way where the point is that he's missing, you know?
Yeah.
There's, like, it's...
They do a bunch of flashbacks with him. And, like, it's frustrating because I know we were talking about this. Like, Brad is in a lot of similar roles to this. Like, it's a similar role to, like, Allied where he falls in love with a woman and then he's, like, realizes he doesn't actually know her.
Yeah.
That could have been interesting.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, it was a fine rat. It was a fine performance. It was very...
Good hair.
Great hair. It's just like, you know, it was what I would want to see from a Brad. Just middle of the road. Like, it was a good baseline Brad. He didn't seem like
a solid chicken soup.
Yeah. If you want to sit down and have a nice chicken soup, this Brad. But not this movie.
Yeah. It's like a chicken soup, but it's like filled with like weird stuff. You know, like Brad is the broth.
Soup. It's a chicken soup served in a bowl made of dried dung. But the chicken soup is like good.
Yeah, but you're
it's good enough for you to keep eating it, but every bite you're like, I don't know about this bowl.
I was thinking more like it's a nice broth, but like everything in it is like weird and doesn't make sense. In it. Yeah, it's like chicken soup with cow eyes instead of like,
so you're just like
noodles and
putting
chicken
the,
chunks.
The spoon in and letting it fill with the broth and trying to avoid the eyeballs that are bumping into each other.
Yeah.
Floating in the bowl.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Speaking of cow eyeballs.
Let's take a peek at what Brad Pitt is doing.
Whoa!
Start a fight club, Brad reputation.
Okay, Google. What's going on with Brad Pitt right now?
Here's what I found.
Brad's back. Handsome Pitt rolls back the years in a dapper black suit at star-studded LACMA Gala. And it's two pictures of Brad Pitt, one of them when he is young and one of them when he's older. Well, this article, I saw that picture earlier.
No, I saw it. I saw it. There's a picture of Brad Pitt when he's young in like the 90s, fresh face.
Yeah, and he's
new
like
to the world.
Looking the same direction.
Yeah, he looks exactly the same because Brad Pitt hasn't aged at all.
Well, and he's shaved.
Yeah,
and Brad he's got shaved. Rid of the depression scruff.
Oh, Brad, are you doing okay? I think you are.
I think he's crawling up out of that hole.
He's crawling on up. He says, wow.
He's showing his face at an event.
He hasn't been doing that.
He put on one pair of pants, and he walked out the door.
He did.
And he shaved.
He did. He
Those
did
are
a good job.
Three major steps that some people have yet to take in their lives.
It's so true.
I'm
it's
really,
true.
Really proud of him.
I'm so proud of Brad. I'm so proud that he's been maintaining a really good skincare regime. I'm so proud that he went to this fancy event, probably full of people that he didn't want to talk to.
And he's face blind.
And he's face blind. And he's probably like, no, I'll do it. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Showed up single.
Yeah.
Single and not yet ready to mingle.
Not dating a 21-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Brad, you're doing everything right.
Look at him mingling in these pictures.
He looks so young in them.
He looks really young. He's wearing a really ugly tie.
He can pull it off, though.
I highly recommend you look this up. It's really, he's looking good. He looks a little bit like a man who just stepped out of a cave and is seeing sunlight for
the first time in years.
Just like kind of like, squinting what? Into the spotlights.
Well, it's probably like, I mean, I hear a Brad reputation, disclaimer. We don't know Brad Pitt personally. We don't know what's going on. But based off of the evidence presented to us, I would assume that this is probably one of his first times at one of these events, sober or soberish in a really long time.
That's true. That's scary.
Yeah. It's so scary.
He's doing great.
He's doing so good.
This is some good news. I'm really happy about this turn of events. I was happy to see it on my Google cards.
Definitely. It was a nice change of pace from my usual Google cards, which have gotten really depressing as of late.
Hey.
Through no fault of my own.
You know who should sponsor us? Freaking Google.
Fucking Google. Google. Google.
Hey, I know you have the money.
Okay, Google. Can you give us a sponsorship?
Here's what I found.
It's just like Google results about child sponsorships.
I don't want to sponsor a child. I am the child that needs to be sponsored. speaking of children who need to be sponsored,
are you
guys ready?
I know a little penguin who needs some help.
I know a penguin who's a little wobbly.
It's Happy Feet 2, guys.
Happy Feet 2!
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Oh my God. I feel like Happy Feet 2... Like, seeing that on its filmography is what made me say we have to do this podcast.
Honestly, because you're like, yeah, Fight Club, whatever. Like,
yeah.
All these spy movies, I don't give a shit. War, who gives a shit?
World War Z, I guess he's good. Wait, Brad Pitt's in Happy Feet 2?
Happy Feet 2?
Happy Feet 2?
And then it was like, was he in Happy Feet 1? Did I miss it? And I was like looking and like, no, he was
not in Happy Feet 1. He's just in Happy Feet 2. And then you're like, oh, he must be like a penguin. Like, he must be, like, they must run into him on a magical dancing journey. No. He's a krill.
He is a krill. Guess who his co-star is?
Matt Damon, friend of the show.
Okay, I'm going to explain the plot of Happy Feet 2. Are you ready?
Go.
Happy Feet 2, Elijah Wood, the penguin, is all grown up, and he's married to, I think, Gloria.
Yeah.
His super sexed up wife, and they have a little baby. And
Eric.
This little baby penguin is a little wobbly, and he's a little... You know, he's like a little like,
Eric.
Eric, are you okay? Like, he's a little late to start talking, and he is very shy, and he's smaller than the others.
And he shits himself.
He shits himself. You see the shit coming out of his little penguin asshole in front of all of his peers. They're like, Eric, go dance or sing or do something. And
he's
all
like,
all his peers are having a good time, and he's like, okay. And he goes out there, and he trips, and he falls, and he shits. All over, everyone sees. And it goes on for like 30 seconds. I swear to God, he's just shitting. I swear to God.
It's like...
like a little stream. Like he's upside down. His little penguin ass is in the air. And he just shits for like 30 seconds.
It was bad, guys.
And then... he's so embarrassed, he runs away crying, and all his little penguin friends are like, pretty nice, there's no bullying in this movie.
Yeah, they're
all
it's like, a bully-free film.
They're like, come on out, Eric, it's okay that you shit your pants. And Eric is just traumatized. And then global warming happens, and the icebergs move, and half of the penguins get separated.
More than half, all of the penguins, except for Elijah Wood, Eric, and Eric's two buddies.
You're right, thank you.
And then Robin Williams' tribe.
Oh, yeah, there's, like, a bunch of racism in these movies, too. Robin Williams is voicing, like a Mexican penguin, and he's doing, like, an accent, and, like, it's just not good. Then all of the penguins are trapped in, like, a cavern. Like, they can't get up, and they can't get any food, and they're like, save us. And there's a lot of stuff that happens with, like, these elephant seals and, like, whatever. I'm going to get to Brad. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'm going to do the circle back around.
Okay.
So then there's, like, this puffin that shows up, but nobody knows he's a puffin. He's lying. He's like, I'm actually a penguin.
Oh, and he's voiced by Hank Azaria of The Simpsons.
And everybody thinks he's so cool and so sexy, and he's flying around, and he's like, you can fly if you believe in yourself, and I'm going to get you out of there. And then... these humans show up in an inexplicable and extremely surreal live-action sequence, and
But there's also, like, the CGI penguins.
Yeah, the human scientists are, like, picking up the CGI penguins, and then there's, like, an oil spill, and the penguin is covered in oil, and then it shows all the last three polar bears on Earth trembling on an ice cap. And then, I don't know, the penguins get saved, whatever. Global warming is still happening, though, persistent theme in this movie. Which I think would be extremely disturbing if you were a child.
Definitely.
Like, it's disturbing as an adult.
Yeah.
But anyway, throughout this entire sequence, we keep cutting away to Will and Bill the Krill. And Will and Bill the Krill are two little krill, and they live in a swarm. A swarm of krill. All around them is krill. It's orange as far as the eye can see. And which one is Brad?
Will.
Will. Is a krill that questions his existence in the swarm. And he doesn't want to be in the swarm anymore. And he's like, Bill, I want to see, like, what's out there.
And Bill's like, no.
He doesn't want to.
It's like, no, there's Bill, nothing out there.
Okay, Will is the, like, brave.
Headstrong, kind of dumb.
Yeah, and Bill is the...
neurotic.
Like, yeah.
Neurotic.
Which you might be thinking, this sounds like a classic... gay couple, and I am proud to say that you are absolutely correct.
At one point that Will, Bill the Krill is like, we could have krill together.
He's like, we could adopt.
We could adopt a krill. We could adopt 100 krill. We could adopt 1,000 krill. He's like, he wants to have his krill.
They wanted to have a krill family together.
Bill did. Will was really into being a predator.
Yeah, so they, like, escape the krill herd because Bill's like, I'm going to set off. Will. Sorry. Will. Brad Pitt. I'm just going to start saying Brad. Brad Pitt is, like, wants to find something more than this krill life. And so they escape the krill and they go outside. They've never seen the outside world.
Swimming through the ocean.
Bill is freaking the fuck out the whole time. Yeah. And Brad Pitt is like, we've got to evolve. Like, we need to accelerate our evolution and become predators. Like, top of the food chain right now. So they're, like, kind of connected to the penguins. They never meet because they're so small. But, like, while the penguins are doing their thing, the krill are doing their own thing.
Yeah, Will and Bill the Krill do various activities that end up helping, like, in a butterfly effect kind of way. Yes. Helping the penguins.
Yes. And then there's a really sad scene where they break up. They're, like, they're at a real low point. Like, they're not doing too great at being predators. And Brad Pitt turns to Matt Damon and he's like, I think we should split up. And Matt Damon is like, what? And he's like, I think we should split up for real. And Matt Damon, like, cries and he's like, don't leave me. And Brad Pitt's like, duh, 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 and he swims away. And Matt Damon curls up in a little krill ball and he's like, don't leave me.
It's so sad, guys.
They break up!
I know! They're married gay krill!
When we literally said, said, gosh, I hope they're gay. And they are. All of this time, all this time we've been like, has Brad ever been gay? Brad, when will you kiss a dude? It turns out he had to be a Krill to do it.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's so good. The Krill segments of Happy Feet 2 are potentially the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
It was hilarious.
It's so good. He's like, he's got like this real gruff, very straight. Like, he's like, you know that scene in The Lion King where Pumbaa's like, I think they're little balls of gas.
Yes.
It's burning millions and millions of miles away. Brad Pitt has sort of that same sort of existential, like, knowing thing.
Yeah.
Things, you know, but he's also goofy.
Super existential.
Yeah.
It's so funny what he's talking about for, like, their evolution and
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Like, we've got to evolve, man. Like, we're not going to be at the bottom of the food chain anymore. Like, this is our chance. Like, it's swimmer. It's eat or get eaten. Like,
this is our moment, Bill.
Okay.
Adapt or die, my friend.
Adapt? There's no telling what we might become.
Fine. Be a plankton muncher all your life.
But that's what we are. We're herbivores. We eat veggies.
Right. So everyone else can eat us. Well, I, for one, am not prepared to be on the menu any longer.
Where are you going?
I'm moving up the food chain.
The food chain?
I'm gonna go chew on something that has a face.
And he decides to be a predator, and then he crawls onto land. They crawl onto land. They evolve. And then he takes a big bite out of a seal.
What did he say? Like, they were, the penguins at one point were tap dancing, and Matt Damon was like, what are they doing? And Brad Pitt was like, I don't know, maybe it's something, maybe it's like a ritual to distract them from the horrors of their own mortality.
Oh my God. I really, really like Will the Krill, because I feel like he, just like having read, you know, like that GQ article with Brad and the Times article with Brad.
Oh,
like,
it seemed really self-referential.
It seemed extremely self-referential.
It felt like this was a bit that he genuinely wanted to do. It seemed like a bit that this was like his idea.
Yeah.
Like, I truly feel like this is Brad's creative vision. Because what else was it? It was not connected to the movie.
It wasn't connected at all.
They easily could have written that in after they met at a bar.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I found it. And like, it was cool.
Brad's like, I'll write it myself.
But it ended up being like at the climax of the movie, all the penguins up top are dancing to try to get the iceberg to break so that it'll like merge together.
Yeah.
And while they're doing that, Will and Bill, the Krill, have gotten reunited with their Krill family, and they're all like, oh boy. And then they decide to start dancing just because, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're on the bottom of the iceberg pushing up, and the penguins are on the top pushing down. And it's Brad Pitt's little Krill foot at the crescendo of the movie stamps his little foot. And then
it goes shh-tish.
Boop, 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 boop. It ripples up, and then the iceberg goes, and then it separates, and then the penguins are reunited.
Yeah. And saved the fucking
when it happens, day. It's like they keep doing all this shit. Like the cloud of Krill is like a nebula, and it'll zoom out to space and show like a cloud of space dust.
Yeah.
Like that's the Krill.
And then it like zooms out more, and it's his eyes.
Yeah, it's like super psychedelic.
It's like what the fuck?
It's extremely psychedelic, and Brad is like such a like.
Hippie?
Yeah. It's straight up.
Yeah.
But not in that, like, annoying kids
movie.
You know, sometimes they do that in kids' movies, and you're like, why are you doing this? This isn't funny. This is, like, it wasn't in, like, a stoner type of way.
Yeah, it was, like, in an existential kind of way.
Yeah. And, like, when he stamps his foot, the whole iceberg, like, lights up with the orange of the Krill.
Oh.
And it's, like,
It was cool. I'd want to see it in 3D.
It was powerful.
It was beautiful.
It was hilarious.
It's so good. It's, like, I feel like we've talked sometimes on this podcast about how Brad Pitt is secretly a very, very, very gifted comedy actor.
Yes.
This is a good example of that.
Yes. He was serious, like he was deadpanning it, but it was like very funny.
Yeah.
And it was like he was supposed to be a little dumb.
Yeah.
But like with high hopes.
Yeah.
Like you believed in this optimistic little Krill.
Also, the Krill animation was really funny, too.
It was really good.
It was, like, really good.
They had huge eyes that were going to, like, you have to Google this, first of all. You Google it and watch it. Like,
I'll do it
truly.
For you. Okay, Google. Brad Pitt as Will the Krill. Alexa, show me pictures of Will the Krill.
Hey, Siri. Can I see a picture of Will the Krill from Happy Feet 2?
There, we got it for you.
Got it. Covered.
Good. All you.
What's the other one? Isn't there an Echo?
Cortana? Can you show me a picture of Will the Krill from Happy Feet 2?
Nice. We got it.
We got you covered. We did it for you.
You are so welcome in advance. Everyone's like, God fucking damn it.
Turn it off. Oh man, what else is there to say?
It was excellent and the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's so good. I love Brad Pitt, the gay krill.
Like, they were actually gay. Like, it wasn't like, it was like kind of a gag at first. It was like, you know, it was like, it was very Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, but you don't know.
Yeah.
But then they were like, we could adopt. Like, we can have kids. We can adopt. And then, and then Matt Damon was like, he was like, I need my Bill. And then Bill was like, I need my will.
I lost my will.
Yeah.
He lost his will.
Yeah.
Ah.
I'm speechless.
It was so good.
It was the best.
But then it's also couched in, like, the straightest movie of all time.
I was like, Happy Feet. I was tweeting it. I was like, Happy Feet 2 is the straightest movie of all time. Because it's just like, so... The songs in this movie are so stupid, and it's just, like, the boy and the girl penguin singing back and forth, and the girl's like, and she's, like, sticking her penguin titties out, and the guy's like, hey, yeah, yeah, lady, hey, yeah, stomping around. But then they bring in this beautiful, positive LGBT representation, and it's just the most touching and tender story of our time.
We should,
nominate it for a gay award.
For a GLAAD award?
Yeah.
Retroactively, yeah. Hey, Raina.
Raina,
can you bring this up to your bosses? Thanks. Oh, also, I said I would offer Joe a formal apology for not passing through Devil's Own, even though he'd voted for it every time he went to
the website. Oh, no. Sorry, Joe.
I'm sorry.
Shit, we had to follow our hearts. You know, Devil's Own was good.
I would, if Brad Pitt hadn't sobbed on the phone to his children, Devil's Own would have won by a landslide.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it was going to he sobbed on the phone to his children.
And then it was like, God fucking damn it.
Why do you have to cry so good, Brad?
Why are you so good at crying?
This is an example of that, except Brad never cried in Spy Game. Like, this is such a landslide for me.
Oh my God, I'm like, what movie? What movie did we just watch 20 minutes ago? What are we talking about?
Spy who?
Spy what? More like, will the krill?
I'm not gonna lie. Like, when we first saw this on the bracket, I was really like, it would be so funny if it won. I was like, it'd be so funny. But I wasn't expecting it to, because we know Rad fucking sucks at doing
voice acting. It's like,
This did not feel like voice acting. It felt like him and Matt Damon hanging out doing a bit in a booth.
I related very much.
A bit in a booth. And like,
but like, not in a way where it's like upset, you know, because like, I don't know. Sometimes when you watch like Rick and Morty and stuff, you're like, this is just a guy hanging out in a booth
with,
like,
himself. Talking.
Yeah. Just doing a bit. And like, or like when you watch like movies with celebrity voice actors, I've talked about this before on the podcast and I'll talk about it again, but I have a hard time sometimes separating the idea of there being a celeb, like Zach Braff is sitting in a booth right now saying words and isn't actually doing anything for this movie. And that always really bothers me, but it didn't bother me at all for this because it was just so fucking funny. It was so fucking good.
It was hilarious. It was genuinely like such a fun, good bit. I never would have expected this to be in Happy Feet 2. I feel like Happy Feet 2 is probably a movie that like 4 people have seen. We couldn't find this one anywhere.
Yeah.
Like you can't just find it at a DVD store, because who the fuck ever saw Happy Feet 2?
Who bought Happy Feet 2?
Nobody, which I think is why they were allowed to do this. Like, it really felt like some creative freedom going on.
Yeah, definitely.
It was very surreal.
It's a weird fucking movie.
It's really strange.
Like how Magic Mike isn't what you're expecting it to be.
Yeah.
Happy Feet 2, I highly recommend.
Full of existential dread and global warming and live action humans and CGI penguins and some dancing and some tap dancing. There's a penguin choreographer in this movie, like in the credits.
Oh, and they also highlight the accountant in the opening credits.
Oh, yeah, they do.
It's like Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, accounting by Susie. It's like, what?
It is a masterpiece. I love Happy Feet 2.
Happy Feet 2 is good.
It's good. Even question mark. Like, Trolls is good, question mark.
Happy Emoji Feet? Movie isn't that bad.
Emoji Movie mark? Isn't that bad. No question mark. Underline.
Italicized.
I'm so
bright
mad.
Red.
I'm so mad. We were too late to get on the Emoji Movie essay game to defend the Emoji Movie. But, you know, Happy Feet 2 is timeless.
It is.
I think Happy Feet 2 could have some essays written about it definitely. At any time.
Happy Feet 1, skip it. Not worth it.
No.
Happy Feet 2,
yeah, you
amazing.
Don't, you do not need to watch Happy Feet 1 to understand Happy Feet 2.
Spy game? Watch a better spy movie.
Skip it.
In case that's not clear, Happy Feet 2 clearly won.
Happy Feet 2 crushed it.
Like an iceberg.
Happy Feet 2 dances all over Spy Game.
I'm really happy for this. I'm happy for Happy Feet 2.
Me too.
I hope it keeps kicking ass. And it honestly is a good, it was a very good Brad. I was really loving it. I felt like it was a new Brad that was unlocked. Like, I haven't
new
seen
fighter.
Existential Brad before.
No.
I was very happy to welcome him to the party. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. Please go watch Happy Feet 2 and tune in.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think on our various social media platforms. Our Twitter is March Bradness. Our Facebook is March Bradness. Our website is marchbradness.net. And our Instagram is march.bradness. Hey, if you have not checked us out on social media,
please
I think
do.
You should.
Yeah.
I think you should.
You should start following us so that when I apply to jobs, they can be like, oh, this thing has followed.
This girl's an influencer. Yeah, if you,
we influence you
are not following the Facebook page, you really should. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
And be doing us a favor.
We're going to start doing more with it. We're sorting our stuff out.
We got big stuff in the making. Tune in next week for not a mini episode.
Not a mini episode, but sort of like a recap, a primer.
A glimpse into the future.
Yeah.
A
small time machine.
A time machine. It will be a mini, it will be the length of a mini episode, but it's going to be, we're going to be talking about like what is in store for season 2 and like what you can expect from this podcast moving forward.
Yeah.
And tune in the week after that for our season finale.
Season finale.
Which is Cutting Class. Versus
Contact,
which we
got to see
LA.
Because of you guys.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. And we have not forgotten about your t-shirts and tote bags. We did go to Muji yesterday to source the tote bags.
And your pictures of you and Brad Pitt.
Yeah, everything is still on the way. It's going to be, you'll get it before the new season starts. I will say that with confidence.
Yes.
Well, you don't know when the new season starts. The new season is starting very soon after the old season. Don't worry. You won't be without Brad for long.
We got you. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to us babble and riff bits.
Riffin' bits.
Sorry that Spy Game fucking sucked. Dick.
I wish it was better, but I don't make the rules.
I don't. I'm just a conduit for
Brad.
I'll also say if anybody is listening and you work for Vulture or whatever magazine is doing like every so-and-so performance ranked, if you fucking touch Brad Pitt, I will be so mad. I will be so mad.
Contact Hannah. If you want to email the podcast, you can do contact@marchbradness.net. That's all I have to say. A wonderful day.
Week, month, year.
Evening.
I'm going to go to a museum and look at some taxidermied animals. Maybe they'll have a krill.
How would you taxidermy a krill?
Just like stick it on a pin. Dry it out.
Press it like a leaf.
That's the sound of its exoskeleton getting crushed.
Have fun.
I love you.
Bye.